Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with David Betterman. David is a spiritual teacher and an executive coach who helps people transform the way they live, love, and create through the principles of his personality code system. David shares how he helps people break through lifelong patterns, transform their relationships, and create a life of purpose and freedom. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now, on to my conversation with David. David Betterman, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa.
I'm really excited for this conversation. To be completely transparent, I invited you more for egoistic, or I guess selfish purposes, because I really wanted to talk to you, but I do know that you're going to add value to every single person and soul listening. So thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. What's the main thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today?
I'm excited to share some tips on how to make this next year the most successful and the most fulfilling year for them. So excited to dive in with you and help enable some transformation.
Amazing. It's going to be a very valuable conversation. I know that, but I'd also love to give the listeners a little bit of a background of who you are and how you actually got to what you do and who you are today.
Sure. So my name is David Betterman, and I help people get more of what they want out of life and dramatically upgrade the quality of their relationships by helping them discover their unconscious personality patterns using a system that I created called the Personality Code.
Very cool, very cool. And has it always been a personal fascination of you, like for yourself, like intrinsically, have you just gone on a hunt of I want to learn as much about personality types as possible? Or yeah, how did you come up with this personality code system?
No, that was kind of the result. The impetus was, how can I enjoy this life? I was living on a sailboat, sailing around to beautiful Gulf Islands, but I, even though like externally I had a great business, internally I wasn't happy, and I didn't know why. And I saw people around me who were happy, and I wanted to figure out how do I access this thing called happiness. So it was really a mission that was born out of necessity on how to feel good and how to enjoy life.
Very cool. And did you have specific teachers or I guess things that led you to this, I don't want to say conclusion, but to this way of teaching now and decoding now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. And I was very fortunate to encounter some very gifted teachers who took me under their wing. I traveled to the ancient biblical city of Jerusalem, where I studied under the tutelage of some very gifted teachers, the ancient success wisdom of Kabbalah. Plus, I had a lot of very talented coaches, and through my journey over the last 2 decades, really just synthesizing this ancient 3,000-year-old success wisdom with a lot of the contemporary personal development tools that are out there, and kind of putting them together, layering them on top of each other, and seeing how it's all connected. And through that, discovering for myself the hidden wiring that kind of makes up personality and behavior. Most people, I would say, think they would say the behavior is random, but actually there is a very precise code that predicts our strengths and also the places that we get stuck, and it can really help us transform and make big changes in our life very quickly. And so yeah, I was very gifted to have some great teachers and to discover a lot of very powerful wisdom, and kind of synthesized it through my own journey and through the discoveries that I was looking for in my own life. And then, people started asking me to share with them, some of what I was learning, and one thing just led to another, and here we are.
Amazing. I truly think the best teachers and coaches are the ones that have had their own journey, their own struggles, and have learned that way. And it just makes them, or it gives them the ability to relate to other people in the in a similar situation, much more. So yeah, wonderful to hear that that's the case for you too. And you mentioned something there with struggles and failures and so on. And I really want to talk about, yeah, how we can be consistent with the changes that we want to make, because most of the listeners listening to this, are interested in some sort of like physiological change, like I want to eat better because they want to feel better, they want to lose some body fat, they want to gain some muscle, or just in general feel healthier. And so often, this is one aspect of things, and it usually goes hand in hand with other habits or an unhappy relationship as well, or everything is interlinked, I guess. And so I'd love to talk about some of your strategies for how we can become more consistent with the actions that we want to take in order to change our identity in the long run.
Sure. So a lot of the changes that people aspire to make in their lives, maybe it's in physical, they wanted to get in better physical health, or they want to improve their relationships. But in the end of the day, what I would say the greatest thing that derails people from being consistent is the fact that there is so much internal conflict. And if we can identify and get a handle on the conflicts that are going on inside of us towards making changes in our behavior, bringing on new habits, if we can identify that those conflicts and we can resolve them, that frees up a lot of energy. And I think one of the main things where people get stuck is that they fall into it's a lack of self-love, a lack of self-acceptance. I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody wants to lose weight, right? So they want to look better, they want to be in better shape, because they want to feel better. But the biggest obstacle on that journey to transformation is really the energy we lose from fighting against ourselves. So if somebody wants to lose weight, they want to get in better shape. Well, before you can become somebody new, you first have to accept who you are. And so before we want to make any change, we first have to identify what is the belief that is fueling the desire to change. And so if it's from a positive side, well, I want to get in shape because I want to feel better and I want to be healthier, that's amazing. But a lot of times it's, I don't like the way I look, or I don't like this aspect of myself. And if I can just achieve X, if I can just lose 20 pounds, or if I can just make $1 million, whatever it is, or if I can just find an amazing relationship, then I'll be okay. Then I'll be okay with myself. But it's a catch-22, because when you approach transformation from the place of not being in acceptance of that trait, so you create a lot of tension, and so then you're fighting against yourself, and that tension, that inner resistance, that drains a lot of energy. There's a famous quote. I forget who says it. It could be Tony Robbins. Whatever you resist persists. And so if you want to make change and you want to become consistent, the first step is to recognize, where am I not accepting of myself in this particular aspect? And what can I do to come to a place of acceptance? And that's going to avoid a lot of self-sabotage, a lot of the derailment, because a lot of the things that we're doing, that a lot of the habits that we have that we want to change, let's say, overeating, or just not eating healthy, not making healthy eating choices. Well, why do I eat junk food? Because it tastes good. And when I eat food that tastes good, then it makes me feel good. And so a lot of the choices that we're making are because we're not feeling good. And so we're doing things, whether it's eating unhealthy or, pornography or alcohol or drugs. All of this oftentimes is to help us feel better because there's a negative feeling at the core of it. And the core of all of the negativity or of the lack of fulfillment is a lack of self-love. So really, I think that's the entry point, and that's the place that we want to start.
And that's a really great practical takeaway, really, to just, sit with yourself and get to know yourself better to begin with, and then also accepting, obviously. And the first place that my mind went to when you were talking about this inconsistency was also, and that's something I've experienced in the past before, too many conflicting desires, really. I see that quite a lot. Well, I experience that and see that a lot, but a lot of people saying, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds, and then it's like, okay, well, you need to give up drinking every single night. Can we reduce that down to just once a week? Oh no, I don't really want to give that up. Can we revise how you go about your binge eating on the weekends, your cheat day? No, I really don't really want to give that. Well, so there you go. You have the conflicting desire of having a new body and having a different outcome, or doing the same things over and over. And I had a parallel awakening moment to this, where I was like, oh, I'm trying to manifest a relationship, a great relationship, etc. And then I find myself thinking, oh, I love the single life. It's awesome. I can do whatever I want all the time. Like, well, hang on, Lisa, this is kind of conflicting. What are you trying to send to the universe here? No wonder you're not really getting anywhere with anything, right? That's kind of where my
True.
mind went right away with that conflicting statement. But you also talked
Yeah,
about
it's black and white thinking, yeah.
Absolutely. And you talked also about self-sabotage, and that I think is another really great topic that you speak about, in the sense of quote unquote success and failures. When it comes to nutrition or making nutritional or exercise changes, people sometimes think, oh, I've quote unquote failed. I didn't stick with what I set myself out to do today, or I failed. I didn't go to the gym 5 times this week, or whatever it might be, in their pursuit of taking on this new identity. And it's very discouraging for them to just label those experiences as such. Maybe you can talk to us about how you view failure and success, and how you coach your clients through that.
Absolutely. So the first thing to understand is there is no such thing as success. Okay. Success is a lie. Success is the word that we have given to the byproduct of stepping into your fears and embracing the creative power of failure and going on an imperfect journey to achieve some goal and making mistakes along the way. And iterating and continuing and not quitting. And when you attempt to do anything, and when you make mistakes and you continue to learn and to iterate and to grow on that journey, when you look back on that path, you will be looking back from the place of success. So success is kind of like the name of the summit of the mountain that we climb towards whatever goal we want to achieve. But ex success in and of itself doesn't exist because you can't achieve success and avoid failure. It's the other way around. Failure is what creates the experience of success. And the example I like to give is there's no such thing as walking. Walking is also a made-up concept. Walking is the name that we have given to the act of falling gracefully from one foot to the other. And when we're small, well, we can't walk. We don't fall very gracefully. We fall very ungracefully. And we continue to do that again and again and again. And it's only through the repeated process of falling over and over and over again do we learn to fall gracefully from one foot to the other and not on our bottoms. And we need to apply that philosophy to really any change that we want to make. We have to embrace the imperfect journey towards our goals, and we have to avoid this thing called black and white thinking. We have to avoid this all or nothing approach to transformation. And I believe that the mistake that we make is in the understanding of what perfection is. And mystically, there are actually two kinds of perfection. On the one hand, there's this thing called static perfection. It's the perfect and not imperfect, right? It's that black or white, all or nothing idea of perfection. And then there's another idea which we call dynamic perfection, which is the imperfect oscillating journey of growth and self-discovery. And it's the moving towards a goal and the making of a mistake, the learning from that mistake. And it's like the journey of life that we go on. And it's all of the mistakes and the imperfections that lead us to the magnificent outcomes and the magnificent experience that we have of being in this world. But that is the foundation of how to succeed in this world. It's to embrace the power of dynamic perfection, to understand that static perfection, that the black or white, all or nothing, perfect and not imperfect. I want to succeed and I don't want to fail. That doesn't even exist in this world. In fact, the best analogy is if you go to visit somebody in the hospital, right, and they're attached to a heart monitor. So you go in and you see this perfect straight line. That's really bad news. That's not what we want to see. What we want is to see this dynamic up and down, chaotic pattern of life flowing through that person. And that idea is also being broadcast 24 hours a day, literally everywhere you look in the physical world. The sound that we're communicating with, the light that you're seeing me with, the chairs that we're sitting on, everything in this physical world is vibrating. And it's that vibration, that oscillation, that up and down journey through imperfection and embracing failure and stepping into our fears. That's the dynamic perfection of this world. And so we want to be very careful when we notice our brain pulling us into black and white thinking, pulling us into that all or nothing. And we need to relax into the up and down journey of growth, just like a surfer surfing on a wave. And, the wave's going to crash. We're not going to get up there forever, but we're going to get on the wave. We're going to enjoy it. But surfing is also about the falling down and missing the wave. And that's the journey of life. And that's how you succeed. And that's how you stay consistent, is when you're embracing the dynamic journey towards perfection and not trying to avoid the failures or the inconsistencies, but to just relax into it and surf your new journey towards your amazing body and to enjoy every step of that magnificent journey.
When I heard that the surfer's mentality metaphor the first time when I was listening to you on other podcasts, I absolutely love it because I think it's such a helpful way to look at things, especially for all the perfectionists listening, which is a large percentage, a lot of type A sort of people listening, and definitely just realizing that no surfer in the world would ever have the expectation of being on a wave forever. Like that would probably even sound horrible to a surfer, really. It is about the getting up, standing, riding the wave. And at the same time, when I heard that an analogy, I also thought of how it's just generally a good way to learn to manifest something, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, but like you set an intention, you want to get up on that wave, but you are also aware of the fact that you're not in control of the wave. You're not programming, okay, I want this wave to be 6 feet high and it's going to be this speed and blah, 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 blah. And at the same time, you're only going to get the best possible surfing experience if you somewhat let go, but you take the wave and opportunities that come at you. In that sense, it's a perfect like co-creation type of analogy, in my opinion. I thought that was really, really beautiful. And one thing that I have learned when it comes to Kabbalah, for experiences where we're perhaps in a little bit of a valley, or in a situation where we feel like it's a quote unquote failure, to just like, once you are aware of, I don't like where I'm at right now, I'm sick, I'm injured, I'm like whatever else it might be, and just saying to yourself, oh, pause, what a pleasure or what a gift, because you know that from there it's going to go. Like the reward afterwards is going to be even better. You're going to get, this is a growth opportunity. This is a learning opportunity. And afterwards, you are basically getting to your next level, if we want to talk about it in terms of video games or something like this. So instead of seeing it as a failure, seeing it as, oh, I've just gotten the opportunity to level up. Cool. This is awesome. Yeah. So thank you for
Yeah,
that.
there it's really there's a really there are really two sides of the same experience, and it's really encapsulated in the wisdom of the yin yang, you know, that black and white, they're opposite, but they're not separate. And so often we want to succeed and we don't want to fail, but these are two sides of the same experience. And so getting up on the wave and surfing is equally as much a part of surfing as, you know, waiting for the wave or falling or having a wave crash on you. These are two sides of the same experience. And when you can embrace the entire experience, the ups as well as the downs in life, that's how you really win the game of life, because that's when you really accept and enjoy all of what life is bringing you.
Yeah, that's wonderfully said. And I'm curious, so your system with the personality types, how does that link in with all of this? Or how can people, by understanding their own personality type better, become more successful, for lack of a better word here, or for to how can they live more aligned, a life that they want to live and is more aligned with themselves?
Sure. So the first thing I would say is that it can be a bit it can be a bit challenging to kind of understand your personality code on your own. This is kind of part of the work that I do with people over the course of a few months. But the way to understand, or the way to get more leverage off of yourself, is to understand that, first of all, behavior is not random. And the way that you are is not necessarily the right way to be, and other people are wrong. It's that there's a very calculated, structured system of behavior that corresponds to the 10 fundamental energies in the world. And so the first thing to recognize is that your strengths are also your weaknesses. They're also the places that you get stuck and you need to grow. For example, you know, I'm sure a good portion of your audience are very motivated towards success, right? The typical type A personality who are wired towards success. It's easy for them to project success, and they're very driven. They have a lot of energy and a lot of confidence. But we are a lot, and they likely achieve a lot of material success in life. But where I see a lot of these people struggling is that they have a difficult time when it comes to failure. They have a difficult time embracing failure or feeling like they haven't achieved their goal. They struggle with being vulnerable, and that means they also struggle to build fulfilling relationships, because they have difficulty showing up and expressing themselves openly and honestly. But as well, they also suffer from tremendous amount of burnout, because, you know, one of my clients was just telling me, like, that, you know, they've got properties and they have a plane and they have a boat and they have all this, you know, and they're on vacation, but yet they enjoy none of it. It's like, and then I say house for sale, and I've already put in an offer, and like, why am I just doing it so robotically? Why do I automatically, you know, put in an offer on every beachfront property that I see that comes up for sale? It's not even calculated. There's not a goal. It's like he said to me, I feel like I'm on this unconscious hamster wheel that I have to succeed, and I've done it. I've gotten so good at it, but it consumes so much of my energy, and I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to actually enjoy the life that I'm living. And so the first thing to remember is that if that's your pattern, then this is your strength, but it's also your weak point. It's also a place that you're getting stuck. And so what we explore is what the individual journey of growth looks like for each type. So the first thing that I would say is just to recognize that your default way of responding to life, the things that are easy for you, the things, the way that you respond powerfully and confidently, that's also the place where you need to focus and gives you the greatest opportunity for growth. And that's what brings us to the balance, right? If somebody's achieving a lot of success, but they're not enjoying it, or their relationships are suffering, or they're burning out, it's because they don't understand the unconscious root of what's motivating those behaviors. And like Carl Jung said, when we can make the unconscious conscious, or we have to make the unconscious conscious, otherwise it will guide our whole life, but we'll just think it's fate. And so when you show a person the unconscious drivers that motivate the choices they make, all of a sudden change becomes very, very easy, and it can happen very, very quickly. And that's how we unlock a lot more of the success and the freedom and the enjoyment of being alive.
I think it's actually great news recognizing that our weaknesses are also our strengths or can be turned into our strengths. And I guess vice versa as well. It can be very insightful if you have someone guiding you towards those insights. And you were speaking about kind of those patterns that we just repeat over and over, and most of it being like an autopilot essentially. And I guess often when we want to break out of that comfort zone of the autopilot, it feels like fear is setting in. And I think it's something that I have always found very difficult, and probably every person, is differentiating between I'm pushing out of my comfort zone and it's a good thing, and my intuition trying to hold me back from something that I'm not supposed to do. I don't know if you have any strategies or insights or thoughts on that, of how we can like differentiate between those two, like, oh, my instinct is just trying, or my intuition is just trying to hold me back, or am I just residing in my comfort zone?
Sure. So the first step is we have to understand that we're not one person. In fact, there's a duality to the human experience, and it's best understood with the analogy, or there's a famous quote by I forget his name. He says that we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And so there really are two parts to our human experience. There's the left brain, which is the physical brain, with the animal brain, our ego, and that's our survival instinct. And then there's also that right brain experience that we have, the place of receiving inspiration, the place of being in flow, the place of having an emotional experience, creativity, right? Being in your body. So that's the left brain and the right brain. And there really is a there, it, there's really a that duality, right? On a mystical level, we are an infinite soul who is kind of visiting us for this lifetime in this body. And so when we understand that there are actually two voices in our head that we're being called towards, we're being pulled into, either we're being pulled into the voice of the left brain, which is that thinking brain, or we're being pulled into the right brain, which is that calm inner place of having access to our intuition. And so we need to take control of that experience. But most often people don't realize that they are kind of two beings in one, so to speak. And so whenever that voice in their head speaks up and says anything, so they automatically give it their attention. And so the most important thing to realize is that you are not the voice in your head, or rather, the voice in your head is not you, right? The brain is a machine, and its job is to keep us alive. And the way that it does that is by processing the constant stream of data coming in through our five senses, right? And the sound that our mind makes while doing its job of keeping us alive is that voice in our head. Just like our heart. Our heart is a machine. It's designed to pump blood. And the sound that it makes is, you know, doop, 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 doop. So our brain is also making a sound, and that's the sound of the voice that you're hearing. Now, why is understanding this important? Because when we can become the observer of the thinking that's happening in our mind, rather than believing that the voice that the mind is speaking is us, when we can actually become the observer, then we can take control and we can say, oh, is this thought true? Does this thought serve me? What is the belief that I actually want to have in this moment? And that's how we can actually upgrade our lives significantly when we don't get pulled into automatically believing everything that the mind says. Psychologically, this is called cognitive diffusion, the ability to differentiate yourself from the voice you hear in your head. And it's a skill, it's a muscle, just like going to the gym. It's a muscle of awareness that we need to build. And it's probably the single most important skill that you can build on your journey towards feeling better and achieving more success in your life, is the ability to notice that voice in your head and then learning how to get on top of it, which we can talk about in greater depth.
Yeah, I love that. I think that metacognition, that sort of thinking or observing yourself, is so important. And so it's quite tough to learn. I think a lot of Stoic literature has kind of helped me with that sort of accepting the things that I cannot change, letting go of them, and just trying to focus on the ones that I can control. And my thoughts fall into that category. And people often think their thoughts, you know, that's just what comes to mind anyway. But as you mentioned, once we become more mindful and observant, and maybe things like meditating, seeking out stillness, going for walks, that's been huge for me, because I often feel like when I have had a full day, I literally feel like I can't hear myself think. And when I get to that point of like, I just need to completely sensory, like a sensory isolation or something like this. I cannot listen to other people, cannot listen to a podcast. And I think this time looks different for everybody. Everybody has their own method of doing that, but I think many people don't carve out enough time for that, because it's not something that automatically in our day-to-day busy lives, you know, it's not where we all have a block of 30 minutes in a day. Unfortunately, that would be great, where we just focus on our own thoughts. But yeah, no, that's a great thing to be aware of. And I think that it can also help us in navigating day-to-day life in general, whether that be at work or with our families or, you know, kids, partners, friends, etc. So when it comes to relationships, because you also specialize in relationship coaching, I believe, when it comes to relationships of any kind, what do you believe are, or what do you observe are some of the main mistakes? I don't want to say, because we don't have, there are no failures, but what are some of the main things that people could do better in terms of their relationships in order to improve their quality of lives and their quality of relationships with that?
Sure. So I would say the place that has the greatest potential for transformation in relationships is, if you want to transform your relationship, you have to realize that you can never change your partner. We can only change ourselves. And we're only able to love somebody else to the level that we love and accept ourselves. And so the place where most people get stuck in relationships is they're looking for more love from their partners, right? They're looking at love as something to receive, and they're trying to mold and shape their partner and their partner's behavior in a way that will fit more to their own liking or to their own comfort. And it really is the exact opposite. If you want to improve your relationship, you first need to improve the relationship that you have with yourself. And that seems, it sounds very cliche, but the funny thing about cliches is that they are sayings that are so old that they've become so commonplace, but it's because they're so true. And so what does it mean to love yourself more? It means to become aware of all of the places that about yourself that you wished were different or that you think are not okay. And the good news is that your romantic partner is already programmed to trigger you in those places. So all of the places that you guys have fights about, all of the places where you get triggered into, an emotional rage or where you get emotional, anytime your partner triggers you, that's the opportunity for you to have a look at what is coming up for me right now. And the gift is the confusion is that also whenever we get triggered, whenever our partners trigger us, we get angry. Hey, don't say that. I asked you, don't bring up that subject. Don't talk that way, right? We try to put the responsibility for how we feel on that person. Hey, I asked you not to be on time tonight. It's really important to me. And you were late, and you were late. And so therefore I am upset, right? But the truth is, I am upset because of what I believe, or because of the meaning that I am giving to you being late. And so the control for my happiness and the potential to improve my relationship comes when we keep the focus on ourselves, and when every negative or uncomfortable experience that we have from an interaction with our partner, that we keep the focus on ourselves and we look at that as an opportunity to see something that I wasn't aware of before. And when we can discover and accept and come to terms with all of those places about ourselves that we're not perfect, where we want to grow, that we're, maybe it's a little bump on your nose, or you don't like the way you look, or there's something about your physical appearance, whatever it is, those are the places that we need to come to terms with and to accept. And the more we're able to love ourselves, the more love we'll be able to have for our partners, and the more our relationships will improve.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a really great place to start, to look to yourself. And in the end, I mean, we all know how hard it is to change our own habits or ourselves, as we were talking about New Year's resolutions, etc., earlier. So trying to change someone else seems like absolutely silly, because that other person might not even want to change. And yeah, we should not get into the business of change. But I've found it very helpful to also think about where am I being reactive, or like you said, like there might be a trigger, and then what is my reactive behavior? And I think often, like, focusing on why am I doing that, number one, and number two, what is that actually bringing up in me? And then also inserting a pause, even just as simple as, like, in the middle of an argument, maybe saying, like, I'm sorry, I need a couple of minutes to, like, even say, well, think about what I actually want to respond, instead of just blah, blah, blurting something out. That's been very helpful for me in many scenarios, not necessarily in discussions, but even just receiving an email where I immediately want to respond, like, no, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm just gonna wait, make myself a cup of tea, think about this, and then how can I respond in a much more thought through way again. So we need to make more time for how we want that that version of us, the better version of us, perhaps to actually show up. I think that is often overlooked because of time restraints or whatever other excuse we might put out there. But yeah, David, I'm so thankful for your time, so grateful for your time. I'd love to kind of round this off with just some practical tips, or if you might have one to three takeaways for the listener when it comes to all the things we spoke about in terms of identity change, in terms of consistency, and creating a life that everybody loves.
The first thing that I would say, and probably the most powerful discovery that I've made on this journey of life, was an ancient mystical idea from the Kabbalah that basically says that your imperfections are what make you perfect. And instead of trying to be good and not bad, instead of getting upset and judging yourself every time that you make a mistake, understanding that the nature of this world, as we said before, is a journey towards dynamic perfection, that journey of never-ending growth and self-discovery. And on that journey, that you were created to go on a journey and to work towards becoming yourself and to embrace that entire journey because your imperfections are what make you perfect. And that it was so powerful because it completely short circuits the whole mechanism of self-judgment and negative self-judgment, getting down on ourselves, thinking that we need to be better in order to be okay, which is something that is, we're kind of oftentimes born into, but we end up leading our whole lives still trying to be perfect and getting really upset anytime that we make a mistake. But mystically speaking, like Shakespeare said, all of the world is a stage, and it is a stage for never-ending growth and self-discovery. And you are an imperfect being who is put into an imperfect world in order to embark on it on an imperfect journey of never-ending growth and self-discovery. And so if you can kind of take that on, then it makes the whole experience of life a lot more enjoyable because all of a sudden there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. There's nothing you need to fix. There may be things that you want to improve. There may be outcomes you would like to achieve, but fundamentally, your being who you are is perfect because you are in this world and you are continuing to grow and to breathe and to exist. There's nothing that you need to do to be perfect. And your mistakes and the imperfections that you struggle with, that's exactly what defines your unique journey. And we're all here, we're all being guided by a higher power who wants the best for us. And we're all evolving. And the more that we can kind of just be gentle on ourselves, and the more that we can avoid judging ourselves when we fall short of our own expectations, then we will become a lot more forgiving and a lot more accepting of the people in our lives when they fall short of our expectations. And then we'll all be a lot more tolerant of each other, and this world will be a much nicer place to live in, and the journey of life will become a lot more enjoyable, a lot quicker, if we can take on that one very, very powerful belief.
What a wonderful reminder. I do want to add one thing, because I think it's really important that, I mean, yes, we're perfect as we are. I also sometimes think people have a lot of regrets about certain decisions, or they get even worse paralysis by analysis, and like, I don't know which one is the right decision. And I have found and learned that it doesn't matter whichever decision you take, it is the right one. And like accepting that, instead of, especially once you've taken the decision, no doubting of like, oh, should have done this, should have done that. Every decision that we make is in the end the right decision. I think that can be very freeing if we have those two parts. We're perfect. The decisions we make are perfect. And yeah, so thank you so much, David. I will, of course, make sure I will link all your social handles in the show notes so people can learn from your content and hopefully also, especially your course, your personality coding training. So thank you very, very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, and wishing everybody a happy new year.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with David. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.